I've often said that there are three themes in the history of Christianity which are accompanying the Christian story right from the beginning to the present day. One is the absolutely crucial distinction between the law and the gospel, something that we discuss at length here and has great implications. The second theme is the relationship of gospel and church, which has been a huge headache for Christians right from the beginning, in which the gospel message has been in constant tension with the church from the very beginning and the martyrdom of St. Stephen. And the third theme that recurs throughout the history of Christianity is the theme of weakness and strength. This theme of the engagement or conflict between man's weakness and man's supposed strength is the theme that the readings that have been so powerfully presented today bring to our attention. And especially, I would like to speak from the text that Jimmy Douglas sang with such authority from Isaiah chapter 40, where at the end of that passage, the prophet speaks to the people and says, every valley, having said that that the voice is crying to make straight in the desert a highway for our God, then the aria continues, every valley shall be lifted up, and every mountain and hill be made low. What you'll find in the whole history of Christmas is a harping on the theme of weakness as over against strength. You find it in Micah, who says, and thou, O Bethlehem Ephratah, everybody thought you were in the boonies and you were nothing, but thou shalt be known as the greatest of the cities of Judah. He takes a tiny backwater and blesses it and says it will be the fount of all blessing. And then he says, the very occasion of your death and loss, the apple will become the occasion for the greatest blessing of all time. And then Mary, the young virgin, is told that she will one day be understood to be the great progenitor of faith. And she says, the word of the Lord is that the mighty will be thrown down from their thrones, but the hungry shall be filled up. And this message, which is the very heart of Christmas, I mean, for heaven's sake, what's it all about? A vulnerable baby in the midst of this world's problems back in the beginning of the era, the ancient world, what is it about if it's not about the engagement of weakness and strength? And I just want to talk about that a little bit in the light of one of the lessons. Because apparently in Isaiah, and these words are repeated by John the Baptist later, what will happen when the Messiah comes into the human equation is that every mountain and hill will be flattened and to a level plain, and every valley or depression will be lifted up to the same level plain. And this, I have to ask you for just a minute, which would you identify with? Would you say that your star has fallen and that you're needing to be lifted up out of grief or a certain positive circumstances that are no longer yours, or a springtime in your life, but you are couldn't be further from that springtime and are down and need to be brought back and restored? Or do you see yourself, and very few people really do, but let's other people see it this way, that you're sort of at the top of your game, and things are basically well stitched together? Very few people actually see it that way, but other people see you that way. There was a sorority when I was at Chapel Hill for 2 years. It was called Delta, Delta, Delta. I think they used to be called Tri-Delts. And they were the sorority that I just assumed I hated from the very moment I met one, by definition. Don't take that personally. It was just by definition, these, they were too pretty, they were too cool, they were too well-dressed, they were too felicitous in matters of social intercourse, and it was the absolute end of the line, and you hated them from the very beginning. Something like that was around the Deke House also, where I went, Delta, Kappa, Epsilon, but it varies from place to place. But they themselves, those girls, actually, if you woke most of them up, most of them were pretty insecure, but I never had the chance to wake any of them up. But to quote the Everly Brothers, remember, wake up little Susie. Now, what we're trying to say, where would you say you are as you look at your own life? Are you sort of going down, or are you trying to get back up? Everybody here has had a springtime. Even the most depressed of you have had something like a springtime, some part of your life where things were, everything's coming up roses, you know? And Ethel Merman defines the term of manic high. Everything about Ethel Merman, there we are, manic high. And as you know, what goes up must come down. And if you've ever been there, if you've ever been high, as a kite on the 4th of July, you also have come down rapidly. And even the very best. There are a few people, apparently in New York, who never seem to lose their edge. But I've not met them yet, obviously. Thing about in Christianity, the two, high and the low, are always coming together. Now let's just talk a minute about on the low side. Christianity will never die. It will never die, even empirically, because there's enough need that we have when we're on the low side to be brought up. Everyone here who is struggling, and who is alone, and who is a victim, needs to be brought up, and you're going to respond to a Savior who looks you in the eye and says, "Neither do I condemn them." That will always be the most powerful thing in the world. The only thing you'll have to give up as your valley is being lifted up by the grace of God, a nice girl, a nice guy, a friend, whatever it is, the only thing you'll have to give up, of course, is your victim status. And that will not leave easily, because if you're a self-pitier, you know, there are people who make self-pity an identity. I don't know if any of you here have made self-pity into an identity, but it is a very, very strong and impenetrable identity. It creates a long strategies of impenetrable entitlement. And if you know anybody or are such a person, one of the things you'll have to give up is the status of being a victim. I think you all know that woman who was trampled in Florida a week ago on Friday, it was my perfect illustration. It's the perfect, you know, they were all trying to get into cheap DVDs. It's DVD players, 6 o'clock at a Walmart, and I mean, it's the perfect PC illustration. And in the ensuing struggle, she was trampled. But, wouldn't you find out, it was in the paper yesterday, this woman apparently has a long history of bringing suits, legal suits, against Walmart and such places. It's a very lucrative profession. I recommend it, actually. You'll do much better than most of us will ever do. But what I thought was the victim of the century, you know, Jerry Springer, you know, ad nauseam, turned out to be, apparently, a con artist. Well, all I'm trying to say is that when you are open to being lifted up by the grace of God, you're going to have to leave your self-pity behind. And I don't find it comes naturally, and I won't do it. Now, point two. If you're, the thing about being brought down is that first it's happening. It's happening to you. Maybe you know this firsthand. Haven't you been in times of your life where things were just beautiful and seemed really together, and then the roof fell in, like Job? There are many men in this world who had distinguished and powerful and extremely high-profile careers who have been absolutely brought down to places of deep, desperate poverty. And this is an extraordinary effect of the human condition. And if you think that you have made any kind of huge and powerful advance in your career, you know, get ready to be brought down. Someone was saying not long ago, well, I made tenure at my liberal arts college where I live, And he said, the trouble is the college has just gone out of business. Now, isn't that classic? He made tenure what every Princetonian PhD candidate thinks he's supposed to get. And just at the moment when he did it, his distinguished liberal arts college has gone out of business. And we are going down, down, down. But when you go down, and especially someone that you know, I want to ask you to be able to not withhold forgiveness from them. In the same way that the person coming up has to leave behind his self-pity and his self-righteous self-pity, the person coming down has to be given the option to be forgiven. Charles Colson, who is on my bad list right now, but I did used to like him a lot, he got everybody very upset years ago when he was born again. He actually titled a book with that extremely unpleasant title to those who mattered in those days, called Born Again. And it was Charles Colson, the Mr. Heavy, who had become converted in the prison and through that Raytheon guy. And most people said, oh, isn't that like him? Religion is the last refuge of a scandal. I just hate it that people who have been caught in the act suddenly get religion. Well, if you've ever had that thought, it's a bad one. It is a very, very simple one. Who are you to deny the fellow who's fallen down 10,000 light years the possibility of reaching the thud, and when he's there, reaching out to the only place? I mean, Michael Jackson. I mean, good Lord. I mean, talk about lack of forgiveness. I mean, I just wish right now that they'd make a movie about how great the guy is, just to spite the media, but let's forget that. Do you really want to be in the position of denying someone who's had a fall from grace? I mean, even Tammy Baker, I mean, she's the worst possible case, for those of you who know what I'm talking about. She is the worst case, or her husband, probably a little worse. But who here really is in a position to deny the possibility of redemption to somebody like Jim Baker, even though it takes every ounce of counterintuitive divine gumption that you could possibly pray for? Who here is, I mean, don't you want it yourself? I mean, one of you is going to get arrested in the next 2 weeks. I can guarantee it statistically that one of you is going to get arrested. And it's gonna, I mean, I'm constantly being stopped on Montclair Road. You know that place where they stop everybody if you don't go 30? And all these guys behind me are going so fast. And I keep saying, don't you guys realize if we go any as fast as you want me to go, I'll get stopped, and inevitably I fall for it, and I start going fast because the guy's tailgating me, and inevitably at that place called Brookshire Place, whatever it is, I get stopped. Now, what I always want to say is, well, after all, sir, I'm on my way to Baptist Montclair Hospital to visit a critically ill person, and all that, and he always pisses me off with a warning, but I'm lying. I'm just kidding. I would never say such a thing. But who's in the human race here? Are you any more able to say that Jeb Magruder or Richard Scrushy or anybody you want to name is not susceptible to the same loving care that you desperately want for yourself when you've just been dumped by your second husband and he's got a much better lawyer than yours, and if push came to shove, he didn't tell you about most of his assets anyway, and you're going to become poor while his third wife becomes rich? I mean, do you really want to deny the man who's fallen the same thing you want for yourself? Well, that's the great theme of the Bible, and that's what I'm trying to say. What you, the choir, have given to us in sublime music, and what the readers have given in lessons of impenetrable and powerful and inexhaustible profundity, is that the God who saved the people Israel and the world through the action of a little baby in a asylum-seeking situation in a totally unknown town in times when the only people that really counted were Romans or priests, if that isn't a message for the one who is flailing at the bottom, desperately needy of a hand to bring me back up to some place of a level confidence in my future, or the man or the woman who's just plummeting from the highest point of worldly success to the lowest point of deep and powerful despair, If that's not the message of these readings, then I don't know why we're here. And I'm so grateful that he said that every valley shall be lifted up, and at the same time, every mountain shall be made low, so that all flesh, the low and the high, will see it together, creating the community of love, which we know as the people of the New Testament. As we are seated, I'll say a prayer. Heavenly Father, we may be on the way up. We're needing to climb the ladder from complete despair. Or we may be flailing our way down from times of plenty to times of penury and aloneness. And in either case, we understand that that is your will for us, that you want to bring us up, or you have decided to bring us down, so that we together with the whole world can face you in our true need. Help us to stand or even to sit on the level playing field of your grace and to hear your word so that all flesh, including ourselves, will see it together for the sake of Christ our Savior.